We talked, this has been over a month ago now, about hindering the truth. I want to talk this morning about the idea of how we might can hinder God. We'll start this with a statement. We can't stop God from doing what He's going to do. His plan is going to be accomplished no matter what we may do. But we can most certainly get in the way of God working. We can hinder God. God is ready and willing and able to take care of all the things that He's got in place to carry out. No matter how hard they may have tried, whether they knew what they were doing or not, there has never been anyone who has stopped God from accomplishing His plan. Even the giving of His Son on the cross. It seems the more people fought against Jesus as the Messiah, the more God's plan was accomplished because God carried it out. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. I put bigger text and I still missed that reading. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We're not going to keep God from accomplishing the salvation of as many as He possibly can. God wants all men to be saved. And He's put the plan into motion so that that's going to happen. We're not going to keep God from accomplishing that plan. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 34, Paul says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor?" We don't understand all about His plan. But we can't keep it from coming about. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. "Now to Him who is able to do more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." God is able to accomplish things that we can't even understand. But what we can do is hinder His working in us. Notice in the latter part of that verse there, according to the power that works within us. God has a plan for all mankind, and that plan is carried out by individual people letting God work through them. And if we get in the way of God working through us, we can hinder God. When we look at the book of Hebrews, there's a lot in the book of Hebrews about faith. And Brother John's talked about the faith of those in Hebrews chapter 11 and even some of those that are unnamed there. But earlier in that book was made mention of the faith of those who were the children of God before, the Israelites. And what the book of Hebrews tells us there is that they were unable to enter into the land of Canaan, which God had promised them through Moses. In fact, they promised all the way back to Abraham, because of their unbelief. And that is how we can end up hindering God today. God can accomplish everything, but He may not accomplish it through us. The Israelites left the land of Egypt, headed for the land of Canaan, came up to the southern border, and we get there into Numbers chapter 13, and we read how God told Moses to send spies out into the land so they could come back and give a report of what was going on, what the land was like, what was happening there, what kind of people they were. Mainly, I think, when you read through that, the understanding I get is God wanted Moses to send some trustworthy men up there so they could come back and tell the people how great this land was that He was giving to them. And of course, we know the story of how those 12 spies came back and how they talked about how great and wonderful that land was, how spectacular the fruit was, and the valleys and all of the things that were there, that truly it was a land flowing with milk and honey, as it was described by the Lord when it was promised to them. But Look at verse 33 of Numbers chapter 13. There we also saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. If you continue reading there, the Israelites said, Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? You could have left us in Egypt, and we could have died there next to all the good things that we'd had. We'd have been slaves, but at least we'd have still been alive. Why did you bring us up here? But notice, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. In verse 7 of chapter 14, they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. Joshua and Caleb had a different kind of attitude toward this situation than the rest of the nation of Israel had. Moses had a similar attitude to what Joshua and Caleb had. The attitude expressed by Joshua and Caleb there in Numbers chapter 14 was, we don't have to worry about the kind of people that are up there because God's going to take care of them. God's going to deal with them for us. We don't have to worry about it. But because the people of Israel did not believe that, they lost all their motivation. And the same is true of us today. Unbelief. A lack of trust that God will take care of us can destroy our motivation. It can keep us from taking action. We can look out at the things that are around us and say, you know, there's just thousands of people in this town that need to hear the gospel, and there's no way I can talk to all of them. Or the last 10 people that I talked to and invited them to come to worship services told me no. Some of them even said, don't talk to me about that anymore. Others I talked to, as we mentioned in Bible class, you try to talk to them about the Word. Oh, I'm satisfied. I know what the Word says. I'm happy with what's happening. I don't see any problem with how my life is going. Everywhere we turn, we seem to find something that's going to stand there in front of us as a giant ready to destroy us. And when we let those things get in our way, it's because we're not putting our trust enough in God. If the Israelites had just listened to Joshua and Caleb and remembered what God had already done for them, He parted the Red Sea and then brought it back down on top of the armies of Pharaoh. He had fed them from nothing. I mean, literally, food fell out of the sky for these people. And yet when it came time to go in and conquer the land, well, we can't do that because they didn't believe in God. And it destroyed their motivation. They didn't want to. It's too hard. There's too much trouble in doing that. We need to remember that we're supposed to put our trust in God. If we seek after God with everything that we are, with all of our being, God will be with us no matter what situation we find ourselves in. And if we truly believe what God has taught us in His Word, we will understand that the responsibility He has given us is not to force people to be obedient. It's to tell people about Christ. maybe our problem is not so much an unbelief in God's power, but an unbelief in God's Word and its power to save. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. That's the power of God for salvation. Not Dan's persuasive words as he talks to his next door neighbor, but the Word of God being given to the heart of man will work on man and bring about the desired result if that person is willing to submit to the Lord. It's not up to me to power through these things. It's up to me to put my trust in God and His Word, and I just do what He tells me to do. If that means I have to knock on 1,000 doors before I get somebody that will let me come in and talk to them about the Bible, maybe I need to knock on 1,000 doors. If that's not a profitable way to do what we need to do, if I need to hand out 500 tracts before I get one person to respond, if I need to get 10 people through a 10-course Bible correspondence course before I can get one to respond to the gospel, you see, it's not what I do. As long as I'm presenting the Word of God, the Word of God will do the work. I don't have to be motivated to fight against giants. I just have to be motivated to fight. And our unbelief, our lack of trust in God to do His part can hinder us in those things and keep us sitting in our recliners, being quiet when we're in public, not responding to those religious discussions that we see from time to time. Because our unbelief stifles, destroys our motivation. It doesn't give us encouragement to step out beyond what is comfortable. And isn't really, to a great degree, that's what motivation is, the willingness to step out beyond what's comfortable. We can read the Word of God and how we're supposed to be spreading the gospel all the days of our life. But if we don't have trust in God's Word to do its part and trust in God, if our belief is not strong enough to just work and then let God do the hard part, we're not being motivated by the Word of God. We're being demotivated by a lack of belief, and it's hindering God's work because it's keeping God from working through us. In a similar manner, it gets in the way of the possibilities. We don't recognize possibilities because we're looking for something that is a possibility to us. But God encourages us not to look for something that's a possibility to us, but to recognize it is a possibility to Him. Turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 14. After the transfiguration, Jesus and those apostles that were with Him came back to the disciples. They saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. Immediately the entire crowd saw Him. They were amazed and began running up to greet Him. And He asked them, "What are you discussing with Him?" One of the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it." And Jesus answered them and said, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to Him. When He saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion. And falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It's often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately, The boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. After crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. When he came into the house, the disciples began questioning him privately, why could we not drive it out? He said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. And some versions include the word fasting there as well. Notice what Jesus said here. When this parent said, can you help me? Jesus' response was, can I? Do you not believe that I can't? Why did you bring him here to begin with? Do you not have belief? One of our problems today, and remember, when I preach these lessons, I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to anybody else, maybe even more so a lot of times. One of the problems we have today is seeing possibilities. And I think one of the reasons we can't see the possibilities that are before us is because, as I mentioned a while ago, I'm looking for things that are possible for me. And forgetting that what I'm really needing is things that are possible for God. And there's nothing that God can't accomplish. Everything is a possibility for God. Laying tracks out on the table at the restaurant when I get through eating, as I'm going out, knocking door to door, making phone calls, newspaper articles, newspaper ads for correspondence courses, signs out front, talking about God when I shake hands with somebody, being godly as I go through every aspect of my life. Use this example before. When I'm standing in line at Walmart, and there's a lady with three kids, and they're buying toys using their allowance money that they've been saving up, and they've got it laid out there, and they have to count through it three times before they get it figured out. How I react to that situation, and I know that's an extreme case, but still, how I react to that situation is seen by those who are there, those who are around me. There's a possibility to point somebody toward the Lord there. No, that can't be Dan. All they're going to see is that you're a nice guy. You're not getting crazy and ranting and raving. That's right. But you never know how far that may go. You never know how many situations like that they may see you in and how you react. Everything is a possibility with God. With all things, God can accomplish His goals. We're limiting our possibilities because we're not first trusting in God. We're looking at self. And that lack of trust, that lack of dependence and hope, belief in God is limiting our possibilities. What are the obstacles that I actually have in front of me to doing the will of the Lord? What keeps me from being a Bible scholar? Well, I wasn't real good in school. I didn't make really good grades. So, what did Paul say? Whereby when you read, you can understand. What did James say? If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. You want to know more about the Word of God? You want to be a Bible scholar? Have better understanding? Then pray to God and ask for wisdom. And then put in the work to do it. Study to show yourself approved. Or be diligent, put forth great effort to understand the Word in such a way that you are a good steward of God's Word. The possibilities are endless. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, the same or a similar situation, Jesus said to them when they asked why they couldn't do it, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. You ever heard of somebody described as they could move mountains? They weren't talking about they picked up Mount Vesuvius and moved it off over somewhere else. They were able to accomplish great and difficult goals. Why? Because they believed in God. Yeah, how many just thought about the little old ant and the rubber tree plant? Where's our faith? We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that He died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for our sins. And we act upon that and we become children of God. Where does our faith go from there? We believe that there's a home in heaven awaiting those who are faithful. We believe that if we are faithful to the Word of God and we serve Him and we follow His commands and we do our best to stay out of sin and to correct our problems as we find them, so that we remain holy and pure in His sight, that we'll enter into heaven. But do we believe that God will help us to talk to our neighbor across the street about the gospel? Do we believe that how we respond to someone who is in need can point someone to the Lord? Do we believe that if we will just put our trust in God, we can accomplish anything in accordance with His purpose? Do we believe that if we seek first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will take care of the rest? Belief, or lack thereof, gets in the way of our possibilities. And in doing so, we're standing in God's way. Unbelief also cripples our abilities. Turn to James chapter 2. Passage familiar to most all of us. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. What is it, my brother? If someone says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their belly, what use is it? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Someone may well say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he called him the friend of God. You see that by faith a man is justified by work. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. If faith is dead without works, what are works without faith?
If we don't have faith, it doesn't matter what we do. We're not going to accomplish God's purpose. Just like faith is intertwined with works, works is intertwined with faith. That they're tied up together. And if we don't have faith in God to fulfill His part, doing our part won't accomplish very much at all, if anything. In fact, Jesus told the Jews that all of the works that they were doing were worthless because they weren't based on faith. They weren't based on belief. They weren't based in the Word of God. They didn't believe in the Lord, and so they were doing their own thing. All of the things that happened in the book of Judges, with very little exception, were almost useless to the nation of Israel to grow into the nation God would have them to be. Why? Because after Joshua died, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. They were busy doing lots of stuff. And yet it's in that time frame that they had the man who was supposedly a prophet of God who gave his concubine to a bunch of guys that were wanting to break into the house. And then when they killed her, he cut her up into pieces and sent her out through the nation. It didn't accomplish anything for God. All the things they were busy doing during that time were useless because they weren't based on faith in God. If they'd have been putting their trust in God when they wouldn't have asked for a king, because God would have been their king. Maybe they'd have been a great nation long before the days of Saul and David and Solomon. All the things that we're doing, no matter how wonderful and great I may be, it won't accomplish God's plan unless it's done according to His will, according to faith. But a lack of faith, as we've already talked about in our other two points, keeps me from taking action sometimes. And in that instance, I might as well not have any abilities. If I don't have faith pushing me to do those things, I could best be described as talk the talk rather than walk the walk. The book of Ephesians, multiple times in that book, the Apostle Paul references the idea of walk. And he's talking about our daily life. But our daily life needs to be regulated and promoted and pushed by our faith and trust in God. Presented a lesson in the past, it's been a couple of years maybe, referencing the song Leaning on Jesus. And the point of that lesson was emphasized that we're not supposed to just let Jesus carry us around. We lean on Him for support. We use Him to help us. We let Him guide us and such, instead of Him picking us up and carrying us everywhere like so many people want Jesus to do. But the other side of that is we need to use Him for support. We need to trust in Him. He's not like my brothers are. If I lean off on one of them and they'll step out from under me and I'll fall down, He's always there. He's steady. He's steadfast. He's unmovable. And if I would just put my trust and hope in Him, and go about the actions God has encouraged me to do, I'll accomplish God's will. I won't be able to do everything God wants done, because some of what God wants done, He wants you to do. He wants people elsewhere in the world to do. Just because I have the ability to talk to great crowds doesn't mean that I'm going to be able to accomplish that. But if I'm not doing anything by the Word of God and because of my faith and trust in Him, if I'm not motivated by the Word and God's power to accomplish, I could talk to crowds of millions and not be effective in turning people to the gospel. I could give you a few names of examples of that, but you probably have a few in your head already. They weren't pushed by their faith in God and their trust and hope in Him. So they weren't accomplishing God's goals, even though they were doing great and wonderful things.
in their eyes. And they're going to fall into that category that Jesus talks about of those who cry, Lord, Lord, and yet do not do the things that I've commanded you to do. You see, that's what it means to believe in God. To do things in accordance with the plan that He has laid down for us. To simply fulfill our role in letting God work through us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're created for good works. We're created to let God work through us. And Paul writes to Titus in Titus chapter 3 in verse 1, he says, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. In verse 8, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. In verse 14, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. Our whole life in regards to being faithful to God has to do with doing His will. Doing in accordance with what He's laid down. How many things are we standing in the way of God accomplishing through us? Because like the people in Nazareth, we don't believe. What is keeping us from letting our belief in God push us to move forward? How are we hindering God? Oftentimes, because of a lack of complete belief. We need to be like that father of the child with the demon. Not only cry out, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. You see, this man believed in Jesus, but he knew he needed a little bit more. Because he'd approached Jesus from the standpoint of, if you can. Are we approaching Jesus from the standpoint of, if you can? Or from the standpoint of, Lord, help me do what I know you can do. We need to make sure we're not focusing on the obstacles, but we're focusing upon the one being that can help us to overcome. That we're not blaming conditions that we can't control, but taking the opportunity to use whatever's set in front of us to the best of our ability and let God work out the rest. To believe that God is going to help us in accomplishing the goals that He set before us. To press forward, knowing that God's going to provide the increase. You know, Paul said, with all the work that he had done and all the work that Apollos had done, he said, I just planted and Apollos watered, God gave the increase. I did what I could and let God do the rest. We need to learn to challenge our faith and to believe from a standpoint of anything is possible. All things are possible to him who believes. We turn to the book of Hebrews and talk about those heroes of faith. And one of the things that we point out sometimes, and maybe sometimes we overlook, those people acted the way they did because they were willing to walk by faith. Not by sight. All too often, we're hindering God because we're walking by sight instead of walking by faith. We need to trust God. He'll fulfill His will. Our responsibility is simply to be obedient to the commands He's given. That means submitting ourselves in obedience to His will. And that's what we need to do. If we've done that, and we realize there's things in our life that are missed, if we want to be pleasing to God and let Him work through us, then we've got to get rid of those sins. And you know, we believe that.
We can all turn over there to 1 John chapter 1 and look at that verse that said, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That Jesus is the advocate we have with the Father. And while we try to live our lives without sin, if we do sin, He's standing there to intercede on our behalf if we come to Him. But we believe that if we just go out and take whatever opportunity is ours, whatever is presented to us, to try to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus as the Savior of mankind through His crucifixion, we believe that if we just go out trying to do that, God will bring forth the increase. God increases, not me. I just do the planning of the Lord. Let us move our lives forward with an attitude that I'm going to do everything I can at every opportunity I might see. And let God take care of us. I'm going to pray and put it all in His hands. I'm going to go out doing whatever I can. I'm going to take off across that border into the land of Canaan, despite the fact that there's giants out there. Because I know God will take care of me. Faith that we see in David, Joshua, and Caleb, and many others. If you look this morning and find things in your life that are amiss, and you can help yourself in life, we can go to God on your behalf in prayer that you might be forgiven of sins, that you might be relieved of your burden. We put our trust and our hope in the Lord. If we can assist you in getting things right with God, or dealing with issues and struggles and trials and difficulties in life in some manner, opportunities yours to come and stand in sin.